हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ॐ सहनाभवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. Let us read the benedictory verses of Shankar Bhagavatpada before which, suppose we recite before we begin the Bhashyam study. Some of you are new, let me say, recite after me. Prajnanam shupratanai sthira charanikara Prajnanam shupratanai sthira charanikara स्थिरचरनिकरव्याप्यलोकान् व्याप्यलोकान् भुक्त्वा भोगान्स्थविष्ठान् भुक्त्वा भोगान्स्थविष्ठान् पुनरपि धिषणोद्भासितान् धिषणोद्भासितान् कामजन्यान् मजन्यान् पीत्वा सर्वान् त्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् त्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् स्वपिति मधुरभुङ् पिति मधुरभुङ् मायया भोजयन्नः मायया भोजयन्नः माया सङ्ख्यातुरीयम् सङ्ख्यातुरीयम् परममृतमजम् अमृतमजम् ब्रह्मयत्तन्नतोऽस्मि ब्रह्मयत्तन्नतोऽस्मि प्रज्ञानां शुप्रतानै प्रज्ञानां शुप्रतानै स्थिरचरनिकरव्यापिभिर् स्थिरचरनिकरै व्यापिभिर् व्याप्यलोकान् व्याप्यलोकान् भुक्त्वा भोगान् स्थविष्ठान् त्वा भोगान् स्थविष्ठान् पुनरपि पुनरपि धिषणोद्भासितान् कामजन्यान् पीत्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् स्वपिति मधुरभुं मायया भोजयन्नः माया संख्यातुरीयम् परममृतमजं ब्रह्म यत्तन्नतोऽस्मि यो विश्वात्मा विधिज विषयान् प्राश्य भोगान् स्थविष्ठान् पश्चाचान्यान् स्वमतिविभवान् ज्योतिषा स्वेन सूक्ष्मान् सर्वानेतान् पुनरपिशनैस्वात्मनि स्थापयित्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् हित्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् विगतगुणगणः पात्वसौ विगतगुणगणः पात्वसौ नस्तुरीयः। The interesting thing is, in the opening verse, Shankara Bhagavatapada is praying. We are praying along with him. Naha patu, turiyaha naha patu. May that Bhagavan, who is none other than the very truth, obtaining as the fourth, protect us. Is a duality? There's duality. In prayer, there is duality. In worship, there is duality. Duality, Dvaita Bhakti, is very important for arriving at the Advaita Darshanam, for having the vision of the non-duality of the reality. Okay, today I thought that I should clarify what I said yesterday. I know definitely there must be some sort of a disturbance because I introduced the word Devi Pranavaha. Atta, let me make it very clear before I enter into the class, today's teaching. In this Mandukya Upanishad, Om Karaha, the Pranavaha, is said to be having four components. Four components. Omkaraha consists of four components. Akaraha, Ukaraha, Makaraha, and Amatraha. Silence following the Anuswara, the nasal sound. So when you say akaraha, short vowel a, ukaraha, short vowel u, and makaraha, a consonant, a mere consonant m. When we pronounce these three sounds together, we pronounce it as om. That's all. Each sound takes only one matra kalaha, one unit of time. So three units of time. Om. Om. The makara is followed by silence. That should be taken as a fourth component. Okay. Now here, this atma also is said to be of four aspects. Even though it's only for understanding, for the purpose of understanding, this atma is said to be of four aspects. As four padas, four quarters. Four quarters of atma constitute the whole atma. So we should not mistake that atma is divided. No, there's no division on the part of atma. But still, for understanding how atma is there, as a complete atma, the purna atma, how it is. The four aspects, four padas, four quarters constitute this atma. So atma is said to be having four padas, as prathamaha padaha, dvitiyaha padaha, tritiyaha padaha, and turiyaha padaha. Turiyaha means chaturtha, fourth. Four padas. Atma is of four quarters. Four quarters constitute whole atma. And here this om, the four components of omkara, equated to four aspects of, four padas of atma. We understood. It's a kindergarten lesson for today's class. We have already completed this teaching. And here akaraha, a, represents, stands for prathama pada. A, the sound, according to this Mandukya Upanishad, akaraha symbolizes, stands for, represents prathama pada of atma. What is prathama pada of atma? Vishvaha Virat together form the prathama padaha. Vishvaha means the experiencer obtaining in the waking state is technically known as Vishvaha. And the gross universe experienced in the waking state is technically known as Virat. So Vishvaha Virat together is what we say Prathama Padaha. So the experiencer obtaining in the waking state and the experienced world, the gross universe, the waking state. We can say the entirety of the gross manifestation is represented by Akara. Akara stands for the waking state experience involving the experiencer and the experienced gross universe. Okay. Now, Ukaraha, U, which comes in second sound. Ukaraha represents the Dvitiya Pada of the Atma. The Dvitiya Pada of the Atma means the experiencer, the same experiencer, obtaining in the dream state and the dream world experienced together form the second Dvitiya Padaha, the second aspect of the Atma. Ukara symbolizes, Ukara represents this experiencer and the experienced world, dream world, world obtaining in the dream state of experience. And Makaraha represents the experiencer, experienced, unmanifest universe in the form of total ignorance and bliss, forming the Tritiya Pada of the Atma. So Tritiya Pada of the Atma means the experiencer and the experienced unmanifest universe in the form of total ignorance and bliss. To constitute Tritiya Pada of the Atma. And Makara symbolizes that Tritiya Pada. So we have only three states of experience. So in three states of experience, there's the experiencer. The experiencer is one and the same. But three, given three different titles as Vishvaha, then Taijasaha, then Pragyaha. The experiencer obtaining in the waking state is Vishvaha. The experiencer obtaining in the dream state is Taijasaha. The experiencer obtaining in the deep sleep state is Pragyaha. Are there three experiencers? No. One and the same experiencer is given three different titles as Vishvaha, Taijasaha, Pragyaha. And the experienced, what is experienced also, is said to be what here? We say experienced Virat, Hiranyagarbha, and Antaryamishwaraha. So you can, together you can say Vishvaha, Virat together stand form Prathama Pada of the Atma, the first quarter of the Atma. Taijasaha, Hiranyagarbheshwaraha form the Dvitiya Pada of the Atma, second Pada of the Atma. Prajnaha, Antaryamishwaraha together form the Tritiya Pada of the Atma. Therefore, Vishwa Virat, Taijasa Hiranyagarbha, Pragya Antaryamishwara. We can simply say Virat Hiranyagarbha Antaryamishwaraha with the inclusive of Vishwa, Taijasa, Pragyas. These three unmanifest universe Unmanifest universe means what? Total ignorance. What is total ignorance? Yesterday I explained to you. Unmanifest power of knowing. Unmanifest knowing power. Power belonging to whom? Power of whom? Whose power? The power of reality. The unmanifest power of reality, obtaining in the form of total ignorance, is also said to be unmanifest universe. Causal universe. Then we say what? This is Tritiya Pada, Antaryamishvara. So unmanifest universe, obtaining him of total ignorance, the causal universe is symbolized by what here? Makara. Ma, the sound ma. Then subtle universe, subtle manifestation, symbolized by Ukara. And the gross universe, gross manifestation is symbolized by Akara. But how do we look at these three? Virat is looked upon as Vishnu. Hiranyagarbha is looked upon as Brahma, the creator. Vishnu, the sustainer. And Antaryamishvaraha is looked upon as the resolver, the one in whom the universe resolves. So Virat, Hiranyagarbha, Antaryamishvaraha or Vishnu, Brahma, Shivaha, three functional names of the only Lord. We don't say we had three lords, three gods, no. Only Bhagavan is given three different functional names. And who is this Lord who is having three names as Vishnu, Shivaha, as Brahma, Shivaha, or Virat, Hiranyagarbheshwara, Antaryamishwara? This only Lord enjoying three functional names is nothing but essentially all-pervasive absolute reality. Which means, when you say all these three, Ishvara are one reality. Ishvara, all three are three functional names of only Lord. The only Lord is essentially the truth. Now what do you know? The Lord is the truth. The three are also the truth. What is this? Only one truth. Only reality. Which means, the experiencer obtaining in each state of experience also is the truth. The experienced world is also truth. Experience is also the truth. Which means there is no experiencer, there is no experience, there is no experienced universe outside of the reality. Who is experiencer? Experiencer is the reality. What is experience? Experience is nothing but the reality. What is experienced? Experienced object also is nothing but the reality. Which means reality is neither the experiencer nor the experienced world, not even the experience. Reality is not anything. Everything is reality. But reality is not anything. Reality is not distant from the experiencer, not distant from the experience, not distant from the experienced world, but reality is distinct from the experiencer, distinct from the experience, and distinct from the experienced world. Distinct. That reality which is not distant, which is distinct, which is the one, the only reality, is ever of the nature of consciousness. Ever of the nature of awareness, knowledge. The only reality alone is there as Vishwa, Virat. The same reality is there as Taijasa, Hiranyagarbha. The only reality is there as Pragya, Antaryamishwaraha. As though three other persons. Therefore, that reality, which is like the fourth person, not fourth, like the fourth person, being distinct from all the three, is said to be Turiyaha. So what's the meaning of the word Turiyaha now? The pure consciousness, pure awareness, pure knowledge. Is Turiyaha. The Turiyaha, so silence following Makara, the fourth component of Omkara, symbolizes, represents that abstract, formless, subtlest reality, which is of the nature of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. So silence symbolizes consciousness. What about the three sounds now? Akaraha, Ukaraha, Makaraha. Three sounds represent the words, all the words formed of all vowels and consonants. Therefore, what are the words? Words are manifestations of knowledge. Words are expressions of manifestations of knowledge. Words are expressions of the manifestations of knowledge. Therefore, these three sounds are expressions of manifestations of knowledge. And what is the awareness, pure consciousness? Pure consciousness is the source of manifestation of knowledge. Is it clear now? The pure consciousness, the source of manifestation of knowledge. Whereas sounds are expressions, sounds symbolizing the words are expressions of manifestations of knowledge. Therefore, the three sounds, Om, representing the threefold, unmanifest, the causal universe, subtle manifest, subtle universe, gross universe. Represent, three sounds represent mithya worlds. When I say mithya worlds, means what? Unmanifest, causal, causal universe, subtle universe, and gross universe. All are mithya. Because they don't have independent existence. Why? They come, they go. They come, they manifest, become unmanifest. They appear, they disappear. They're not there permanently. They're mithya. Now this pure consciousness symbolized by silence is satyam. What is mithya? What is satyam? Pure consciousness, the Turiya Pada of the Atma, symbolized by silence of Omkara, is Satyam. the sounds are mithya. The world's representative sounds are also mithya. Satyam and mithya. This is the basic understanding we must have when we enter into the study of the Upanishad, isn't it? Okay. Yesterday, okay, therefore, this Om is said to be sound symbol of the Lord. And it is, I use this expression, Abhidhanam. Om is an Abhidhanam. Abhidhanam means a name. Abhideyam means the object denoted by the name. Isn't it? Object. Abhidhanam and Abhidhanam, word and its meaning are inseparable. So also here, Om is an Abhidhanam for the Atma. Om is Abhidhanam for Atma. Om is Abhidhanam for Brahma. Brahman and Atma, one and the same. Om is the Abhidhanam for Atma. Brahman is Abhideyam. Atma is Abhideyaha. This is how Mandukya Upanishad presents the meaning of the Om. Being teachers is also better to know in some other context elsewhere, it is presented differently. They take same meaning only, there's no difference, slight difference is there, I tell you. They put this akara, avomkara, is taken to be the Srishti Bijam, some other context. Srishti Bijam. Therefore, it is Swarupam of Hiranyagarbha, Brahma. The order changes. Creation comes first, isn't it? Srishti Bijam. Akaraha is a Srishti Bijam. To the difference, now understand the difference between Mandukya Upanishad expression of Omkara and this one. Srishti Bijam. Ukaraha is taken to be Sthiti Bijam. Sthiti Bijam as a Swarupam of Vishnu. Srishti Bijam stands for creation. Ukaraha, which is taken as Sthiti Bijam, stands for sustenance and protection. Only between these two there's a change. Samhara can never change, okay? Makaraha is said to be Samhara Bijam. So there's a change in understanding Makara. Makaraha is said to be Samhara Bijam. Ukaraha is said to be Sthiti Bijam. Akaraha is said to be Srishti Bijam. So Srishti Akaraha Srishti Bijam stands for creation, origination. Ukaraha Sthiti Bijam stands for sustenance and protection. Makaraha Samhara Bijam stands for resolution. I don't want to use the term destruction. And here, how do we understand the power of the reality and the reality? Even though I'm not supposed to use this word "and," but for the sake of understanding, I have to use the reality and its power are inseparable. the only power of reality, the only inseparable knowing power of reality, otherwise it to be Maya, alone is here as the creative power, sustaining power, and resolving power. The one power manifest becomes differentiated as unmanifest power. When it becomes manifested, differentiated as what? Creative power, sustaining power, and resolving power. These three powers are symbolized by these three sounds as Srishti Bijam, Sthiti Bijam, Samhara Bijam. Therefore, the Shakti alone, here Shakti, when you say Shakti, Shakti is inseparable from its source. Therefore, here Devi, this Omkaraha is put differently as Uma. Yesterday I said that. I'm clarifying because some people ask me the doubt. Om is Mahapranavaha, which we know now how Om is a symbol of both Sagunam Brahma Ishvara, is a symbol of Nirgunam Brahma, attributeless abstract reality also. The Om put in different order is what? Uma. And this Uma is known as Devi Pranavaha. Devi Pranavaha. And I already explained the meaning of the word Pranavaha, but still I'll remind you here. Pranavaha means a unique name. So Uma is a unique name of Devi. Om is unique name of the truth, unique name of Ishvara, the Lord. Why it is unique? I told you, Navaha means name, Pranavaha means unique name. Prakarshena Nuyate Anena Iti Pranavaha. So that by which that one unique name by which not one given object, but every object, everything in this universe is denoted. Therefore, it is said to be a unique name, Pranavaha. So, Om is a Mahapranavaha, Uma is a Devi Pranavaha. So, here the question came, not from me, not from us, already the question came when they explained, why in Devi Pranavaha, Ukaraha comes first? In Mahapranavaha, Akara comes first. In Devi Pranavaha, Ukara comes first. So here the explanation given is, Ukaraha happens to be the Sthiti Bijam. Sthiti Bijam represents protection, sustenance. And Devi looked upon as a mother, being an embodiment of compassion. She always protects, sustains as a universal mother. Therefore, this Sthiti Bijam Ukara comes first in Devi Pranavaha. Have you made it clear? And this protection protection and sustenance. What is meant by sthiti bijam is what now? Associated with Vishnu, the Lord Vishnu. Therefore, Devi as the Swarupam of Vishnu, as a protective power, as the Swarupam of Vishnu, is known as Narayani, Vishnu Durga. Narayani, Vishnu Durga, Vishnu Maya. You have seen in temples different names. Why only Durga? So many names. Vaishnavi, different names. Okay, when Devi, this the Ukara, the Vishnu Bijam, the Sthiti Bijam, associated with Lord Vishnu as the Vishnu Swarupam, is said to be different. Vishnarayani, Vaishnavi, etc. Understand? Because yesterday, in my mind, I was thinking of Akara as the Srishti Bijam. Then I did say origination something. So I didn't want confusion. That's why I want to clarify it today. Now it's very clear. There's no confusion. Okay. This one thing is extra side note. Because sometimes you may end up having this explanation also. And there, the Mandukya Upanishad does not say this. I shall get confused. In some other context, it's also presented, explained in that way. Okay, so Devi Pranavaha, Mahapranavaha. That's another topic. Finished. We'll come to this class now. So what we have seen already in the introductory commentary, I'm going to repeat again today for clarifying again. So Shankara Bhagavatpada explains in this introductory commentary what has been already discussed in the previous two chapters by saying what has been already discussed in the previous two chapters. He also mentions the need for writing the Tritiyam Prakaranam, the Advaita Prakaranam. I'm not going anywhere. Just I'm starting from the beginning. As I explained, I want to make it clear. Because very important. The Shankara Bhagavatpada's commentary, very small. It looks small with a small sentence. But he packs a lot. We have to say many sentences in English to make it clear. So what does he say as that something has been completed already in second two chapters? First he says, Vankara Nirnayaha Uktaha. Where in the first chapter, known as Agama Prakaranam, there was mentioned a statement. A statement was given. Of course, the whole mantra is there. Omiti idagam sarvam. All that is here is om. That sentence is called Pratignya Vakyam. Opening statement, a promising statement. So he comments based on that statement. Okay, first he says, Pratignya. No. Pratignya Vakyam. An opening statement, but a profound statement. A statement of profound fact. When a statement is short, small, it reveals a fact, profound fact. That statement needs to be understood. And the fact revealed by the statement needs to be established, proved. If we say, what is H2O? It's a statement of fact. It needs to be, when somebody has to understand what is H2O, it has to be explained, proved. The same way, here a pratignya vakyam needs to be explained. Okay. Therefore, this, in order to establish, explain, prove the fact revealed by the statement, here the third chapter is again begin. One thing. So, Omkara Nirnayaha, Omkara Artha Nirnayaha. Omkara Nirnayaha means what? Nirnayaha means ascertainment. Ascertainment of the meaning of the word Om is Omkara Artha Nirnayaha. Omkarasya Arthasya Nirnayaha. Omkara Artha Nirnayaha. Which means, when the meaning of the word Omkara is ascertained, okay, then this statement is given here. And what is the purpose here? What is the purpose? That what is revealed by the statement? Meaning of the word Omkara is Atma. Atma being the meaning of the word Omkara also is understood. Because Atma is everything, Brahman is everything, Om is everything means Brahman is everything. Brahman is everything means Atma is everything. All that is here is Atma. All that is here is Brahma. That is what is meant when it is said all that is here is Om. Because Om and Brahman are one and the same. Om and Atma are one and the same. Therefore, when ascertaining the meaning of this word Omkara, it was said, Omkara Nirnaya Samaye Uktaha. What was said? Pratignya Matrena. While ascertaining the meaning of the word Om, Pratignya Matrena, merely as a statement, opening, promising statement of fact, it was said. I mean what? The meaning being Omkara was said. The meaning of the Om being Atma. The meaning of the word Om being Atma was said. Was stated. Merely as this, no, this, the opening promising statement. Om iti idagam sarvam. Is it clear? Which means, what's that Atma? What is that Atma which was mentioned as the meaning of the word Om? That Atma is absolute reality. And that reality has to be understood. Understood. It means that if Atma, all that is here is Om, means all that is here is Atma. If all that is here is Atma, means Atma has to be, that fact has, the statement has to be understood. The statement has to be established. The statement of fact has to be proved. It's been proven. How it should be proven? Isn't it? All the T series Om means all the T series Atma. All the T series Atma means how? If you simply say all the T series Atma, it's a statement of fact. Have you understood? It has to be established. It has to be proved. How it should be proved? That Atma is the only source of resolution of the universe. Prapanchopashamaha. Why we say all the T-series Atma? Because Atma is the only reality in which the entire universe resolves. I mean, the universe has no existence outside of the Atma. Prapanchopashamaha. Atma being the only source of resolution of the entirety of the cosmos must be proven. Understood now? Then, Shivaha, Atma having the nature of auspiciousness must be proven. Advaitaha, Atma being the non-dual reality must be proven. Atma Swarupam must be nature of the Atma, nature of the reality implied by the Atma must be proven, must should be understood. Is it clear? Therefore, if it has to be understood how Atma is the only source of resolution of the universe, Atma is ever of the nature of auspiciousness, Atma is the only secondless non-dual reality, this must be understood. For which we need to understand two things. This universe which is here, the duality which is experienced, is not real. The universe which is here, the universe which is here is not real. Atma is the only satyam. This must be understood. In order to understand Atma as the only reality, secondless non-dual reality, as the source of resolution of the universe, what needs to be understood is this duality, the world of duality which is experienced, is not real, not as real as we think. It is not real means it is neither real nor unreal, it is mithya. It is only an appearance. It is not really there. This fact has to be understood. Therefore, that fact, that world of duality being not real, being mithya, has been discussed, analyzed, were in the second chapter. So here we're going to see here. I'm going to read a second sentence now. Jnate. Do you see that now? Second, are you all following the Bhashyam? I'm reading Jnate. Jnate. Dvaitam, jnate, dvaitam na vidyate. It's one sentence. Jnate, dvaitam na vidyate. It is the Bhashyam. Shankara Bhagavatpada literally quotes a word, sentence from Gaudapada Acharya's Karika. Jnate, dvaitam na vidyate. What is the meaning of the sentence? When truth is understood, then duality ceases to exist. Duality doesn't exist. That is the meaning of the sentence. Okay. This sentence is whose sentence here? It's a sentence from a karika. Which karika? The 18th karika obtaining in the first chapter. Let me read the karika for you. Only that karika let me. I'm going to read out. Okay. For your understanding. Vikalpo vinivarteta kalpito yadi kenachit. For your sake, I'm reading. Okay. Vikalpo vinivarteta kalpito yadi kenachit. Upadeshadayam vadaha. Upadeshadayam vadaha. Jnate dvaitam na vidyate. So, jnate dvaitam na vidyate. Jnate, when understood. Sati Saptami. Those who want to know Sanskrit expression. Jnate, satye jnate, sadvastuni jnate. When the absolute reality, the ultimate truth is understood clearly, then dvaitam na vidyate. This part comes in the 18th karika of the first chapter. And in this, actually this is the verse, this is also this word also is presented by Gaudapada Acharya as a pratignya vakyam. Understand? The 18th verse, karika, of the first chapter, where Gaudapada Acharya states, when the truth is understood, when the truth being taught by some teacher, the proper teaching is imparted, when the truth is understood, then, the perspective change happens, the duality doesn't exist. The duality ceases to exist. This statement of Gaudapada Acharya also is his pratignya vakyam. His pratignya, promising statement. Promising statement. A statement of fact. If truth is understood, there is no duality. Duality seems to be very real. Okay? Only as long as you are ignorant of the truth. This is his, okay, pratignya vakyam. Okay. Kim kasmin jnate sadvastuni jnate. It's not in the verse, I'm just adding. Sadvastuni jnate. When the truth is known, dvaitam na vidyate. No, I'm experiencing the duality. How can I say no? Shastram says, without denying your perception, without denying your experience, remaining in the world of duality, in spite of experiencing the duality, still you can say there is no duality. Duality will cease to exist if provided the truth is understood. Therefore, in the second chapter, let me make it clear, in the very second chapter, first Gaudapada Acharya makes it very clear the mithyatvam of duality. Duality is not real. Duality is mithya, that he establishes. So, the next sentence now. Tatra. Here also, yesterday, a small correction. Some spelling mistake. Dvaita bhavaha, I read. Please make it a point. Make note. Dvaita abhavaha. Yesterday, I read it as dvaita bhavaha. Okay? Dvaita abhavaha. Are you able to see the third sentence here? Tatra. Tatra means in the second chapter, Vaitatya Prakaranam. तत्र द्वैत अभावः. द्वैत अभावः तु वैत्यत्य प्रकरणेन, द्वैत अभावः वैत्यत्य प्रकरणेन प्रतिपादितः. दिस् इस् नौ व्हाट्स् द मीनिंग्, द्वैत अभावः प्रतिपादितः. Absence of duality, which means what? Duality being non, duality being mithya, duality being non-real, was established, was discussed. Dvaita abhavaha pratipaditaha. Please, all of you make note who are following me on the online also. Not dvaita bhavaha, dvaita abhavaha pratipaditaha. Where vaitatya prakaranena, when you say vaitatya prakaranena, means what? Through the second chapter. Let us take it as in the second chapter. Vaitatya prakarane. Vaitatya prakaranena, through the second chapter, the title vaitatya prakaranam, or in the second chapter, this fact of the absence of duality. Absolutely, there is no duality. Which means the duality being mithya, duality being non-real, was established, pratipaditaha, was revealed, established. How was it revealed? Not simply. Drishtantaihi. Drishtantaihi means through or with appropriate examples. The world of duality experienced in the waking state is not real. What is the example given? Swapna, maya, gandharva, nagaradi, drishtantaihi. Drishtantaha means illustration example. Through the examples, appropriate examples of dream experience, magic show, and the city formed of clouds in the sky, as the city is built in the sky, through those examples, the duality being non-real was established. Where? In the second chapter. So Shankara Bhagavatpada knows that we will be studying like this after 1 year. So he reminds us. Okay. How do what is a dream example? When a person is in dreaming, when he is in dream, there is the dream world is very real. There's experiencer and the experienced dream world. Isn't it? The dream duality is very real. For the person who is in dream, for the dream world is very real. Dream duality is very real. But the same person, when he wakes up from sleep, when he looks at himself as a waker, from the standpoint of waker, he understands the dream duality is not the dream world. The dreamt world is also the waker. The dreamer also is the waker. Not outside of him. The dreamer dreamt duality resolves in the waker. Means the dream, even though the experience is there, dream experience is there, but still the duality is not real. The dream duality being not real is understood when a person wakes up from sleep. In the same way, when a person wakes up from sleep of ignorance of the truth, he'll understand from the standpoint of the truth, he can understand this world of duality, which seems to be so real, okay, can be understood to be mithya. Understand? This waking universe, experience in the waking state being mithya, can be understood only when you wake up from sleep of ignorance. This is for example number one. Then maya drishtantaha. We go and watch a very nice, interesting magic show. My God, what all the magician shows, and we keeping our mouth open, and with excitement we see what all he shows. It looks so real, isn't it? And when the show is over, you see all this person packing. After the show, we'll understand, my God, nothing is real. Isn't it? How the magic show, the magician projects his show so, you know, realistically that we really mistake it to be real. But there's a point we understand the whole magician's trick, you know, is not real. Similarly, this world of duality, which seems to be so real, is not real. Like the magic show. Then, Gandharva Nagaram. Gandharva Nagaram, a celestial city formed of clouds in the sky. When you see many clouds coming together, and then you can imagine sometimes it looks as though there is some city built in the sky. Is the real Gandharva city? Is the real city built there? It looks like some palace. Isn't it? It's just the formation of clouds. But it appears, even though some appearance formed of clouds looks like what? Okay? The celestial city formed of clouds looks like a real city. But we know it is not. It's only appearance. So this city, celestial city formed of clouds appearing in the sky, it's only appearance, it is not real. The magician's highly impressive show is not real, we know. The dream world, dream duality, as long as a person is there, is very real. On waking up from sleep, it is not real, it's understood. This is how Swapna Maya Gandharva Nagara Adi Drishtantaihi. Through the examples such as dream, magic and celestial city formed of clouds in the sky, etc. In the second chapter, Vaitatya Prakaranam, absence of duality was established. Absolutely, there is no duality. Duality is mithya. That was established. Okay. This duality being mithya, duality being not there, was not established only through the example, these illustrations, examples. It was also explained with what no? Hetu bhihi. Tarkena hetu bhihi. Logically, with proper reasoning. Isn't it? Here, what are the reasons given here? Drishyatvadi. Drishyatva Adi Antatvadi. Drishyatva Adi Antatvadi. You have to break it. Drishyatva Adi Antatvadi Hetubihi. This fact of duality being not real, duality being mithya, was established through these illustrations and also with reasoning. With giving proper, logically, with proper reasons. Such as, drishyatvam, the world of duality having the status of being an object of experience, object of knowledge. And this world of duality having the status of having the beginning and end. Drishyatvam Adi Antavatvam. You can make this tick words. Drishyatvam Adi Antavatvam. And the two reasons. And Adi Shabda, etc. It was established also logically with reasons such as the world of duality having the status of being an object of knowledge, and having status of having the beginning and end. Means what? The world of duality is available for experience. Experience, because it's available for experience, that itself is enough to say it is not real. Anything which is available for knowledge, available for perception, available for objectification, experience is not real. Yadrishyam tad, tadjadam, yadjadam tad, we can say mithya. Anything known is of the nature of inertness. Anything which is of the nature of inertness is not real. Not real means what? It has no independent existence. It has no independent existence means it is as though. It is as though means what? It is not real. Is it clear now? Drishyatvam. So drishyatvam is one reason. Another reason is adi antavatvam. Adihi means beginning, antaha means end. Adi antavatvam means this world of duality has a beginning, it has an end. Why it has a beginning? There is a time the world of duality is not there. When you fall asleep, where is the world of duality? When you wake up, it's there. That's the example I'm giving, okay? And again, it has an end. Again, it has a beginning. Becomes manifest, again becomes unmanifest. Becomes manifest, again becomes unmanifest. So becoming manifest is the beginning of duality. Becomes unmanifest is the end of duality, world of duality, isn't it? Therefore, this world of duality always has a beginning and end, which is another reason for it to be negated as mithya. So this is how in the Vaitatya Prakaranam, Gaudapada Acharya established the mithyatvam of the duality, the world of duality, through appropriate examples and also logically with proper reasons. Okay. Is it enough now? If two chapters are over, two chapters have been completed, we are very clear. The world of duality experienced is not real in spite of experiencing. We are very clear. The world of duality is not real, even though it appears to be real. This understanding itself will not help us ascertain the fact of the reality being absolutely real. It's not enough. Okay? So, it has to be established. How Atma is non-dual. The non-duality is real. Non-dual reality is real. Advaitam satyam dvaitam mithya. Dvaitam mithya. Duality is mithya. Advaitam satyam. Non-duality is real. So non-duality of reality is satyam. That fact has to become very clear. That has to be established. Therefore, the third chapter is begun now. So, advaitam, non-dual, means secondless. Secondless means what? There is nothing other than the reality. To state this, it's a fact. Non-duality alone is reality. Non-duality is real. Advaitam is satyam. to make it very clear, and that Advaita Atma, that non-dual reality implied with them, Atma, you are that non-dual reality. It should culminate in the vision of what? Ahamidam Sarvam. I, the self, am the whole. Because only in having this vision, my freedom lies. My freedom, which is already there, can be claimed. My fullness of happiness is already there, can be taken ownership of. Only if I understand this fact. Therefore, this has to be ascertained. What has been non-duality being real has to be ascertained. You can't take it for granted. Therefore, it has to be established how Atma is non-dual and how non-duality alone is real has to be explained, established. Therefore, this third chapter is begun. And how it is begun, how it has to be unfolded. So, Gaudapada, yesterday I told you this point, Gaudapada Acharya is going to negate first creation. There is no creation of anything here. There is no creation of the universe. When the creation is negated, stating there is no creation at all, what is this universe then? It is only manifestation, it is only appearance of the only truth, only reality. To say that there is no creation at all, there is nothing has come into existence from the reality, Atma, Brahma, he is going to establish, prove that Atma, the Brahman, the reality is not the cause. If something has to come into existence from something, there must be cause. Brahman, Atma is not the cause at all. Brahman is non-cause, akaranam, Brahma akaranam. Brahman is not the cause. Atma is, Turiya Atma is not the cause. Akarana Turiya Atma. Akaranam Brahma. Atma, Brahman, the absolute reality is not the cause of anything. Nothing has come into existence from that Brahman or Atma. Therefore, there is no creation at all. This is the order. Okay? Brahman is not the cause of anything. Therefore, nothing has come into existence from Brahman. Therefore, there is no creation. Therefore, what is there is non-dual reality. Therefore, Brahman is a non-dual reality. This is how he is going to establish. This is the order. Brahman is not the cause. Nothing has originated from Brahman. There is no creation at all. Therefore, what is only non-dual reality. Therefore, non-duality is real. Advaitam Satyam. This is how he is going to establish. So here, he is going to say the next sentence. Advaitam Kim Agama Matrena Pratipattavyam Ahosvite Tarkena Api. The question comes. In the previous chapter, how was Mithyatvam of the Jagat established? The second chapter, duality being not there, absence of duality, duality being non-real was established with examples and also with reasons. Isn't it? Now, the non-duality being real, How is it going to be established? Only Shastram, only the Upanishad Shastram is going to be the means of understanding this fact. Kim agama matrena advaitam pratipattavyam. Can you read, understand now? I'm trying to put it in the, so that you understand Sanskritam like English. Okay. Kim advaitam agama matrena pratipattavyam. Should advaitam be understood only through the Upanishad pramanam agama matrena? Agama matrena means what? Only through agama. Only through the Shastram. Agama here stands for Upanishad. Only through the Upanishad pramanam, only through the agama, should non-duality being real be understood? Will there be support of the reason, logical support for this? This is the question asked. Ahosvith are tarkena api iti. Tarkena api. Okay, will this non-duality being real be established only through the Upanishad Pramanam, or will it be supported by other reasoning also, logic also? That's a question asked. Uta, suppose if such a doubt comes, duality being mithya has been understood with examples, with reasons, everything. How will non-duality being real should be understood? How will we understand? How shall we understand? Only through the Upanishad Pramanam, or will there be supportive logic which strengthens the fact revealed by the Shastram? Is the question. Advaitam kim agama matrena pratimattavyam ahosvite tarkena api, also by reasoning. Don't worry, Shankaracharya says. Aha. What did Shankaracharya say now here? Suppose that such a question comes, he himself asks question, he himself gives the answer. Shakyate tarkena api jnatum. Tarkena api jnatum shakyate. Of course, Upanishad Pramanam is going to help us understand this fact. What is revealed by the Upanishad is a fact. Non-duality is real. Upanishad is going to explain to us. But tarkena api jnatum shakyate. It is possible to understand the fact of non-duality being real through reasoning also. Logically also. So he says, Tat katham, the question comes, Tat katham, how is that? How can non-duality being real, how can we understand non-duality being satyam through reasoning? How can the reality of non-duality be understood? Through reasoning. Don't worry. Here comes our Gaudapada Acharya. With all reasoning. Okay? In the third chapter. So he says, Tat katham iti, advaita prakaranam arabhyate. I brought you to the class. Until now what is said? Advaita prakaranam arabhyate. The section, the chapter, the title, advaita prakaranam is begun simply for you to understand how the non-duality being real can be arrived at through reasoning also. And immediately there's some doubt comes, my God, always we understood, what have we understood? Upanishad only must be used as a pramanam to arrive at the absolute reality, to arrive at the non-duality of the reality. Reasoning should not be used, inference should not be used. Now how can we use reasoning? So don't worry. Okay, all other sub commentators like Anandagiri, etc., they help us. Don't worry. Relax. Don't take for great Acharya. Okay, this is not something, you know, we get restless. Don't worry. Of course, absolute reality, ultimate truth has to be arrived, can be arrived at only through this pramanam called Vedanta Shastram, Upanishad Shastram, no doubt. But the fact which is understood, arrived at, or established by the Shastram, understood through the Shastram, can be strengthened, okay, also by reasoning. Logically also. So, the logical support is to strengthen the fact already understood through the Shastram. Therefore, the reasoning used, the logic used by Gaudapada Acharya, definitely is a logic which is in conformity with the Shastram. We just not go against the Shastram. Which means, Shruti Anugrihitaha Tarkaha. Shruti Anugrihitaha Tarkaha. The logic which is blessed by the Shruti. Shruti Sammataha Tarkaha. Shrutya Sammataha Tarkaha. The logic which is supported, accepted. Shrutya Anugrihitaha. Shrutya Angikritaha. Shrutya Sammataha Tarkaha. The logic which is understood, I mean accepted, blessed, admitted by the Shastram alone, is used by Gaudapada Acharya in this following chapter to establish the non-duality being the only reality. Oh my God, this is the Upanishad where Acharya establishes there is no creation. So the Brahman is not the cause. So this whole teaching presented is based on what now? The whole teaching here has Ajati Vadaha, Akarna Brahma Vadaha, Akarna Atma Vadaha. But what about Taittiriya Upanishad, Chandogya Upanishad? They are also important Upanishads. There Upanishad presents, uses Rishti Prakriya. There is a method of analyzing the creation known as Rishti Prakriya. There Brahman is presented, it's called Tatastha Lakshanam. Brahman is presented as the Jagat Karanam. And the Upanishad says there's a universe creation. But that's the Karanam. And here Gaudapada says, no, Brahman is not Karanam. In Taittiriya Upanishad, Brahman is presented as the Karanam. So here, don't worry. Yes, in that, there's some Upanishads, Brahman is presented as the Jagat Karanam. And Jagat is presented as the Karyam. True. But there, it is not for establishing the creation. It is that presenting Brahman as the cause also is to understand Brahman being not the cause. Brahman is burned as the cause, and when the method is used, and then we are helped to understand the fact that Brahman is not the cause. The method is to arrive at what reality is, and from the standpoint of reality to understand that Brahman is not the cause. There is no creation. There is no world of duality. So that's only the causal status is superimposed upon the Brahman. If it is superimposed upon the universe, there is mere superimposition. It is not real. Brahman is not real cause. Nowhere in any Upanishad, Brahman is presented as the real cause of the universe. No. It is only mere superimposition. That is why, wherever, whenever in any Upanishad, Brahman is presented as the cause also, it is only Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya. It's a method of superimposition negation. Just to arrive at what Brahman is, thereby to understand what is there is only Brahma, the non-dual reality. Now we know very well why this Tritiyam Prakaranam, the third chapter, known as Advaita Prakaranam, is begun by Gaudapada Acharya. The Shastram says uniformly, all Upanishads state, non-duality is absolute reality. We have three orders of reality. There is Vyavaharikam Satyam, relative reality, empirical reality, objective reality. Vyavaharikam Satyam is objective reality, empirical reality, or relative reality. So this duality is neither real nor unreal, means it is relatively real, empirically real. We don't say it's unreal. Empirically real, objectively real, relatively real. There is Pratibhasikam Satyam, subjective reality. Pratibhasikam Satyam, subjective reality. Dream experience, the dream duality, the experience of dream duality is not unreal. How real it is? It is subjectively real. It is real for the person who dreams, who had the dream, who dreamt it. Subjectively real. So Pratibhasikam Satyam is objective reality. Vyavaharikam Satyam is objective, empirical, relative, empirical reality. What is absolute reality? Paramarthikam Satyam. Paramarthikam Satyam, absolute reality, is abstract, formless, inexplicably subtlest, beginningless, endless, changeless, timeless, all-pervasive, independent reality, which is ever of the nature of pure consciousness, pure awareness, pure knowledge, implied by the term Atma or Brahma. which is the only truth of every being, which is available for recognition as one's own essential nature, is Paramarthikam Satyam. And this Paramarthikam Satyam is non-dual. Therefore, absolute reality is non-dual. Therefore, non-duality is real. Tat katham iti advaita prakaranam arabhyate. How non-duality is real. Non-duality alone is real. To understand that, Gaudapada Acharya begins second chapter, this is the third chapter, the right Advaita Prakaranam is begun by Acharya, and where he is going to help us understand with reasoning. This is the general introduction of the third chapter, Advaita Prakaranam. Introductory Bhashyam class is over. In the same paragraph, we have another sentence. I can say three sentences. In those following sentences of the same portion of the Bhashyam, Shankara Bhagavatpada introduces Gaudapada Acharya's first two karikas. The first two karikas of the third prakaranam are introduced in these following sentences of the commentary. How Shankara Bhagavatpada introduces the first verse of Gaudapada Acharya. We'll see here. Upasya upasana upasanadi beda jatam sarvam vitatham. Only in this particular sentence I'm very concerned. Because tomorrow we should say, I don't want to come for satsang, we should not say that. Okay? We should never miss satsangs. Even I want to attend the satsang. Sometimes I do some other class, that's why I don't come. Anyway, morning satsang, evening satsang, we must go, we must attend aarti, we must do puja, we must worship, we must do namaskaram, we must pray to Bhagavan, we must recite, sing in praise of Bhagavan, must. Okay, before I read the sentence, I want to say this. Because in the very opening verse, Gaudapada Acharya condemns people who think meditation is everything. Worshipping the Lord is everything. Meditating upon the Lord is everything. If I am religious, if I am worshipful, if I worship the Lord, that is enough. If I pray to the Lord, that is enough. Because I feel very cozy, very comfortable. When I pray to Lord, when I worship the Lord, I feel secure. That gives me some comfort. I am satisfied with that. And I can keep on begging Bhagavan all the time. I can emotionally, conveniently, I can be leaning on Bhagavan emotionally. Always. When difficulty comes, problem comes, pray. What else can we do? We pray. And we worship. We sing in praise of the Lord. Meditate upon the Lord. In Upanishads, in all the Veda Shastram, we have a portion specifically called Upasana Kandaha, where we have many, many meditations. Meditating upon various devatas, meditating upon Ishvara, meditations. And when a person is given to this discipline of meditation, naturally, what must be his understanding? I am the meditator. And I am involved in this process of meditation. And there is an object of meditation. There's Upasya Devata, Upasyam Brahma, Upasyaha Ishwaraha. The Lord God is object of my meditation. There's a Devata who is an object of my meditation, altar of my meditation. And I'm involved in this process of Upasanam. Upasyam means Upasya Devata, Upasya Vastu means object of meditation, altar of meditation. And process of meditation is called Upasanam. And I am Upasakaha, I am a meditator. This division must be there for one to be a meditator. Is meditating wrong? Of course it is not wrong. Who can say meditating is wrong? It is one of the important disciplines should be practiced by any spiritual aspirant to prepare his mind for the attainment of knowledge. It's called spiritual discipline. It is not a spiritual end. It's only a spiritual discipline. So meditation is a manasam karma. Saguna brahma vishaya manasa vyaparaha. It's a mental activity. Of course, even worship, even though physical body is involved, world activities involved, still it's a meditation, upasana, because mind is placed in Bhagavan. So this involves what? Meditation, upasanam involves division, duality. As a worshipper of the Lord, as a meditator upon the Lord, I isolate myself. I see Lord, I distance myself from the Lord. I distance myself from the truth. Therefore, here duality is taken to be real. And the benefit of meditation is taken to be the ultimate end. Therefore, here, Gaudapacharya is going to condemn in the very opening verse, stating, Upasyaha, Upasya Upasanadi Beda Jatam Sarvam Vitatham. Vitatham means not real. Not real at all. Everything is not real. Sarvam Vitatham. Everything is not real. Means what? What is not real? Anything which is born of, produced, attained as a result of things involving division, duality, such as meditated meditation, difference, upasya, upasanadi bheda jatam sarvam vitatham. Any outcome of anything involving the duality, such as meditation, the process of meditation, the object of meditation, etc., is not real. Now, what is real? Kevalaha cha atma advayaha paramarthaha itisthitam. See, when we say Gaudapada Acharya condemns upasanam, he condemns the upasakaha, the meditator, only the meditator who mistakes the meditation to be the end of everything. One who mistakes the meditation as the ultimate thing. One who mistakes the result of meditation as the ultimate goal. One who does not know that this meditation is only a means of preparing one's mind for the attainment of jnanam. Not knowing the limitation of this discipline of meditation, one who overvalues this discipline of meditation is condemned by Gaudapada Acharya. Because if a person is given to the discipline of practice of meditation, if he practices his meditation, any discipline of meditation, if he practices this as a preparatory discipline, with the Purusharthan Nischeha, having jnanam as the ultimate goal, being dependent upon only knowledge as a means of liberation, means of moksha, the commitment to the pursuit of moksha, having one's focus on mental steadiness, mental preparation, if a person practices meditation, then it is a discipline. Then it need not be condemned. It's a discipline which should be practiced. Meditation implies what? Even worship, prayer, praying to the Lord, worshipping the Lord, dwelling upon, practice, thinking of the meditation upon Lord. All these are wonderful disciplines which should be practiced, no doubt, only as a preparatory disciplines. Which means one must lean on, rely on, one must be dependent only on the knowledge of the truth for one's freedom, for one's moksha, for one's everlasting happiness. Because freedom is not something to be attained, which is already there. Attainment of freedom is nothing but correction of the error in one's perception of the notion. All that a person wants is knowledge. One must be dependent on knowledge alone for one's freedom. Then we can say the person whose ultimate goal is knowledge, and thereby who is committed to the pursuit of moksha and jnanam, and he is a spiritual person, if he practices meditation, not overvaluing it, not undermining it, undervaluing it, with a due respect, reverence, that it is a discipline, it is practiced for a given certain purpose. The person should know what meditation can do, what meditation cannot do. It is very important for one to know what meditation can do, what meditation cannot do. If we are given to the discipline of meditation, definitely in due course of time, it will help you have a calm, relatively calm, quiet, serene mind. It blesses the person with mental purification. If it is practiced, living a life of dharma, and having one's focus on only preparation for knowledge. Otherwise, no purusharthanischeha. The moksha being the goal is not very clear. The value of knowledge is not known. The value of knowledge is not known, understood. No commitment to the pursuit of jnanam. One is not dependent on knowledge as a means of attainment of moksha. If I practice meditation and I am enjoying the benefit of meditation itself is the goal of ultimate goal of life. Once a person practices meditation, of course meditation as a will involved action will be very effective. There will be many benefits which can be enjoyed in this world when living in this world itself. Of course, there is also non-verifiable result of meditation prescribed in the Shastram, revealed in the Shastram, that one can, after death, one can go to higher lokas, go to heaven and enjoy the heavenly pleasures, etc. Still, whatever is the result of meditation, one must know whether the pleasures are objects of security, enjoyable in this world or hereafter. Anything, everything is time bound. Nothing is timeless. Therefore, the result of meditation definitely is time bound, and what is aspired by every spiritual seeker is everlasting happiness. So time-bound result of meditation cannot be timeless, everlasting freedom, everlasting happiness. Meditation is not a means of attainment of everlasting happiness. Meditation can produce some results which are time-bound. It can never be a means of everlasting happiness. Because everlasting happiness, moksha, peace, is always there, already there, as the nature of the reality, obtaining as one's own self. Therefore, there is something to be discovered, known, not to be attained. Therefore, it is the knowledge of the reality, knowledge of the non-dual absolute reality, Atma, Brahma, the only means of attainment of the absolute goal. It is not meditation. But not knowing this fact, if people are interested only in enjoyment of results of meditations, thinking that results of enjoying the results of meditation as the ultimate goal, absolute accomplishment, and those people are ignorant people, indiscriminate people, so they are condemned. In the first verse. This I told him many times before. You know, every time I come here, I mention this fact. Meditation is a mental activity. Meditation practiced before the attainment of knowledge is saguna upasanam. Meditation practiced after the attainment of knowledge is nirguna upasanam. Nirguna Brahma Upasana, which is contemplation. Meditation can be practiced before the attainment of knowledge as a preparatory discipline. Meditation can be practiced after the attainment of jnanam for ascertainment of knowledge. Meditation is not a means of attainment of knowledge. You can say it's an indirect means of attainment of knowledge as a preparatory discipline. It is knowledge, knowledge, knowledge is what is needed for freedom, for liberation. for claiming, taking ownership of everlasting happiness as one's own nature. What is needed is jnanam, not upasanam. Knowledge is needed, not meditation. We do not undervalue the discipline of meditation. We should know the value of it, that it is an indirect means of attainment of moksha, knowledge, as a preparatory discipline. It is not understood, then that meditation deserves criticism. We'll see tomorrow. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.